across the ocean wide and blue. They carried their cross, not caring the loss, so other souls could hear the truth. But the lights grown dim in America, is coming soon.
Who will go to America, land of the red, white, and blue? Who will go to America? Tell me, brother,
forgotten man. But the most forgotten mission field is within our country's shores. So who will go to America? She needs Jesus Christ the
among us. All that he does, all of his mercy and all of his love, if the pen of the writer could write every day, even this world could never contain just how I have been blessed.
Born in the winter, flowers in spring, the laughter of summer, the changing of leaves, food on my table and a good place to sleep, clothes on my back and shoes on my feet. Oh, I have been blessed.
I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them, there's not enough time. So I'll just thank him for being so kind. God has been good. so good, I have been blessed.
Arms that we raise and a voice that can talk, hands that can touch and legs that can walk, ears that can listen and eyes that can see. Oh, I've got to praise Him as long as I breathe, 'cause I have been blessed.
A father and mother who nurture and raise, sisters and brothers the memories made, a pastor to lead us, this altar to pray, stripes that can heal, the blood the steel saves. Oh, I have been blessed.
I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank Him for being so kind. God has been good, so good, I have been blessed.
We live in a country, the greatest on earth. Her flag stands for freedom and what it is worth.
She stands in the harbor, Miss Liberty. All have gave some, but some gave it all for me to be blessed.
He's my shoulder to lean on when I am down, that rock where He leads me when I'm overwhelmed, the place where He hides me under His wing.
He's not just a song, He's a reason I sing. Oh, I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank Him for being so kind. God has been good, so good, I have been blessed. I have been blessed, God's so good to me. Precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them, there's not enough time. So I'll just thank Him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed.
God has been good, so
certainly are a blessed. I've enjoyed the video. We'll had another one, but we'll watch that one tonight. We'll view that video tonight, Brother Jonathan. Thank you. And I want to get into the message at this time. As I mentioned earlier, our country is certainly a country of memorials. I began to do a little background research on landmarks and memorials in our country, and I found out that there's just short of 2,600 noted landmarks and memorials across this great country. All 50 states have landmarks or memorials. The greatest, of course, New York, having 270 of those. The least memorials or the less memorials are in North Dakota. They have 7. The state here in Virginia has noted 121. Memorials. There's memorials as I began to look. It means something to our country. We even have memorials representing our country And the Virgin Islands, there's 5 memorials. Puerto Rico, 4. In the South Pacific, 6. Representing different themes. Memorials representing war heroes. Robert E. Lee Memorial, the Grant Memorial, presidents, the Lincoln Memorial, Jefferson Memorial, the Washington Monument, civil rights, Martin Luther King Memorial, innovators like the Wright brothers, the Wright Memorial in Killdevil Hills, North Carolina. There's memorials that represent disasters, the Jamestown flood in Pennsylvania back in the 1800s, and of course, most recently, the National 9/11 Memorial in New York. There's war memorials. There's the Revolutionary War Memorial, the Civil War, World War I, World War II memorials, the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, the Korean Memorial, the Gulf War. Then there's those that pertain to wars, the National D-Day Memorial, the Marine Corps Memorial. This is probably one of the most iconic or the most notable, Iwo Jima, you were the men, I think it was even in our video today, raising the flag there, those soldiers, and there's that memorial, the USS Arizona Memorial, from which that particular speech was made, and if you've never watched it, I would encourage you to watch that speech. What an inspiring speech on the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. Of course, that was a memorial for Pearl Harbor, those who suffered death at the surprise attack there. The Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And then there's the Arlington, the National Cemetery, where over 400,000 men and women have been buried to this date. Over 400,000. You can get different numbers when you begin to try to find out how many of our countrymen and women have died in wars, have died in battle, in conflict, protecting the freedoms and the liberties that we enjoy. Some say 1.1, between 1.1 and 1.2, some say a little more, million people. It's an astronomical number. Our country is a land of landmarks, of memorials. They stand for something. The word memorial, when we think of memorial, it's simply this. Noah Webster in his 1828 dictionary, the Webster's 1828 says, that which preserves the memory of something, anything that serves to help keep in memory. And I guess it's a testament to the fact that part of the curse as fallen men, part of our cursed minds, we tend to forget. We take the goodness that comes our way, the familiar goodness, we take them for granted, don't we? It's not necessarily that we intend on it most of the time, but nonetheless we do. We take even the Lord as a memorial. We have a table at the front of our church here this morning, and most Bible-believing churches do have what's called a communion table, a table for the Lord's setting of the supper that we will partake in tonight, and I trust you will be here for participation and observance to a memorial that is most precious to the Church of Jesus Christ as we partake in the cup and the bread, as Jesus said, "This do in remembrance of me." Not only is our country a land of memorials, I believe one of the reasons that our country is, and I'm not saying that America is the only country of memorials. There's certainly other countries that hold memorials for their country and their countrymen and women. But the Word of God, God had His people to set memorials. I thought about Noah when he exited the ark. There was a memorial that we still to this day get to witness, the memorial of a rainbow, a promise that God said, I want you to remember, Noah, every time you see this rainbow, it's a covenant that I'm making with you that I will not destroy the earth by water again. We have that covenant. We have that memorial. There's a memorial of the children of Israel when they were gathered in bondage in Egypt. They were in bondage to taskmasters there in a land where there rose up a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. As Joseph moved there and he brought his family there, they began to multiply. And you know the story as it's given in the Word of God. And there was a memorial that was set forth at the release of those people at the command of God through the leadership of his man Moses and his brother Aaron. As the children of Israel were leaving, it was the Passover memorial that commemorated the setting free of God's people by the blood that was shed and applied to the door lintels. And what a memorial that is. That God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. What a memorial. And then as those people, those same people that passed under that blood and started their journey under the mighty hand of God, following the leader that God had given them, as they walked on through the journey there in the wilderness and they headed toward that promised land, there was a crossing of the Jordan. God said, I want you to set up some stones. And I want you to set these stones as a memorial so that when your children rise up and when they get to a place in their life and they, as generations, will tend to forget what the previous generation, the price that was paid, the faith that was exercised, and your children ask you, what meaneth these stones? You will be able to tell them that the God of heaven led you all along the way. What a memorial. What a memorial. I thought about how that God's Word has memorials. I thought about how that when God protected His people over and over again, God gave them a man. God gave them Samuel. The Philistines had gathered themselves in 1 Samuel in chapter number 7. They had gathered themselves to do war. The Philistines had gathered themselves to do war against the children of Israel. The children of Israel were very afraid. And they called upon Samuel and they said, Samuel, would you get in touch with our God? Samuel, would you get a hold of the God of heaven? Let Him know our dilemma. The Bible says there in that great chapter, the Word of God, that Samuel called on the God of heaven for the sake of the children of Israel. And God moved at the prayer of His man. And God discomfited the Philistines and gave victory to His people. And Samuel said, set a stone up. God has said, let's set a stone between Mizpah and Shin, and we'll call it Ebenezer, for the Lord hitherto has been our helper. And that's why that in that great song that he said, here I raise mine Ebenezer, because he is a reminder. It was a memorial to God's people for all time that God is our helper. Paul wrote in the book of Hebrews in chapter 13, he said, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen. So that we may boldly say, here it is, brethren. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. I'm thankful. Listen, I stand before you today thankful in my soul that I can say with the author of Hebrews and the people of God down through the eons of time that the Lord too is my helper. He's my helper, and I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. Isn't it wonderful to have the God of heaven as our helper? What a wonderful thought this morning. I thought about how that our country has memorials. And our God, and God's people, God's Word has memorials. I've just cited a few, just a few. You go through the pages of the Word of God and you find where God sets up memorials. God sets up memorials. God's always moving on His people, moving on His man. And He says, I want you to set a memorial. I want you to set a memorial. I think of Jacob. When Jacob had strayed from God in Genesis, there in chapter 35, Jacob was returning unto the Lord. And God said, I want you to set a stone there, Jacob. And he said, I want you to remember where you left me. He said, I've been right here waiting on your son to come back. Amen. Been right here waiting on you to come back. Jacob came back. And he stood there under that oak and he set a memorial. And he said, here I am, Lord. Amen. I'm back. I'm glad God was waiting there for him, weren't you? Just like that prodigal that went out. Listen, he left God. He left the Father. He left everything that the Father had. He said, give me, give me. He went out into the far country. The Bible says that he came to himself. There's an insanity about sin, isn't there? There's an insanity about sin. Listen, when sin gets hold of a man, now you listen to me this morning. You say, what's that got to do with Memorial Day? Everything. I began to think about what Memorial Day really is. I thought about our first parents, Adam and Eve. Back in the garden, as Pastor David read in you here and there in Genesis in chapter number 4, how that this mother, the mother of all living, she was the first one to lose a son to conflict. She lost her son to conflict. There's a statement that was made there, and it really made my mind, as I read this statement, my mind began to, what few wheels I have left began to turn in my mind. And I began to think, what a statement. It says in Genesis chapter 4, if you'll turn back there just for a moment, in verse number 3, in the process of time, it came to pass. And I began to search and try to find material, and I began to look up these words and these phrases, and there's so little material. What is God wanting me to know? What is God saying here? Well, we know that he wants us to know that there was an elapsed period of time between the time that this took place and the events that he's getting ready to lay out for us took place. Depending on what you think or who you read after or how you interpret what is being said here, there was some time that elapsed to where the population of the earth began to grow. It began to grow to the point to where eventually Cain was able to take him a wife. And you say, well, I've been wondering where Cain got his wife. Well, he married his sister, all right? So I'm not going to marry my sister. Well, that's good. Don't do that. Might have married his first cousin. I don't know. But I know this. I know he didn't marry somebody as close to him as Eve. Adam married Eve. He married his rib. It's a funny thing to me how people run around. Where'd Cain get his wife? Where'd Adam get his? God gave Adam his wife, just like God will give you a wife. And many of you, God has given a wife. You thank God for. Here we have in the scripture where God said in the process of time, the earth began to populate. Some people believe there was upward to 30, maybe 50,000 people upon the earth. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say, and I'm not going to speculate. But I do know that God put that in his word for a purpose. Now, when that prodigal went out, the Bible says that that prodigal, when he was out in the far country, there is an insanity to sin. Preacher, why do we have war memorials? Why do we have fallen heroes? Why is there greed and jealousy and hatred and variance and malice, lying and deception and envy and strife in our world? Sin. That's why. It all started right here. You see, man's way of trying to solve the dilemma of sin is not working. See, man's way of trying to dissolve who's going to be in control, who's going to conquer, who's going to take care of this, it's not working. But one day, I'm going to tell you, God's going to come back. Jesus is coming back, and he's going to set up his kingdom right here on this earth. And he's going to rule, and he's going to reign as the Prince of Peace. Wars will cease. Wars will cease. Don't you misunderstand the message. Our God is a man of war. You say, now wait a minute, preacher. I'm not sure if I understand what you're saying. Let me say it again. Our God is a man of war. When Jesus comes back, Revelation chapter number 19, the Bible says he's coming back on a white horse. Now that's not for his saints. That's with his saints. The first time Jesus comes in the air, in the first phase of his second advent, he's coming in the air. to receive you and I who were saved. He's going to call up his church. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Lift your hand and say amen. If you go into heaven, you ought to be glad. Amen. We're leaving out of this old sin-cursed world. We're going to heaven. That's right. I didn't say if we get there. We are going to heaven. And I'm going to talk to you about that here in just a moment. Say, how long are you going to preach? Oh, I don't know. Till God gets through with me. Maybe about 10 to 15 minutes. But I do want you to listen to me here. All right? The Bible says when Jesus comes back, that he's going to come back to make war. Read it sometime. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. He's coming back to make war. Why, preacher? So we can have peace. Peace. Sin has done this. Sin. Sin wants to take a man's freedoms and liberties. Sin wants to strip a lady so that she can't be what God made her. Sin wants to treat children like garbage and throw them out the back door, throw their fetuses, listen to me, in a garbage dumpster somewhere. Sin does that. Sin. We've got to stand for something. We've just about given in to everything. God, give us some people that'll stand up and speak out against sin and stand for righteousness. Our country has memorials. I believe our country has so many memorials because I believe our country was founded upon the precepts and principles and the statutes of this book that I have before me and that you have before you called the Word of the Living God. It's very obvious that the framers of our Constitution and Declaration of Independence knew something about the Creator of the universe, the God of heaven. The Bible says here in the beginning, when there was a man and a woman, that this man knew this woman and she brought forth a child. This child's name was Cain. Memorials. Memorials. Cain had a brother. His name was Abel. You can read this story. It's sad. It doesn't have a good ending. You would think it taking place right outside of paradise that it would have a happy ending. Here's a man and a woman that lived in paradise, had it all, fellowship with God, had it all, and then lost it all. Why, preacher? Sin. Sin. So they wanted to start over. I'm glad you can start over in spite of sin. God was merciful to them. You know this account, don't you? Children, you've read this, haven't you? I hope that you have. You ought to read your Bible every day. Find out what God says. You don't have to take a teacher or preacher's word. Respect your preacher. Pray for your teachers. Amen? Come listen to them teach and preach. But you don't have, that doesn't have to be the only Bible you get. Read your Bible every day. Get in this book and find out what God said. The Bible says that Adam and Eve sinned against God and they tried to sow fig leaves and they tried to cover their nakedness and they tried to make it right with God on their own merit and their own doing. This is going somewhere, so listen to me. God said, that's not going to do. And so God provided them coats of skins and God provided them a way of redemption so that they could be reconciled back to Himself. You can find that in Genesis chapter 3. So they're starting over. If you're sitting under the sound of my voice this morning, and sin has wrecked and ruined your life, just like that prodigal, when he came to himself, he realized who he needed to go to. I pray today that if you come to yourself, if God breaks through that shell, if God breaks through and opens those blinded eyes and you see your need of God this morning through Jesus Christ, that you will do exactly what that prodigal did. You'll get up and go to the Father. Instead of, Father, give me, you'll say, Father, make me. Make me as one of thy higher servants. God, I humble myself, and I know my greatest need is you. You can start over. Adam and Eve, starting over. Had a son named Cain, means acquired. She said, I've got me a man of the Lord. She thought this was the promise of the Redeemer in Genesis 3. Had a second son named Abel. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 4 and verse number 3, in the process of time, again, I don't know how long that was. I don't know what all transpired, but in my mind, the wheels began to turn. What happened? You know, I'll never believe, and the only way I'd believe that the simple fact that all of a sudden, the very first time that Cain brought his sacrifice and Abel brought his sacrifice, that they saw and Abel brought his and God accepted it the very first time, and Cain brought his and God rejected it, and so Cain said, "I'm going to kill Abel," and he killed him the first time. I'll never accept that. I don't accept that. The Bible, I don't believe, teaches that. The Bible teaches that there was a process of time. Now, what happened in that process of time, I don't know. Did this build in Cain? Did Cain constantly see God smile on Abel and Cain reject him and said, "I'm going to do it my way"? Was there feuding between them? You say, feuding between brothers? That's unheard of. Was there feuding between the siblings? Was there jealousy? Was there anger? Was there envy? It appears, according to the scripture, that there was every bit of this. When you look in Genesis chapter 4, once again, if you'll notice that the Bible says in verse number 5 that Cain and unto Cain and his offering, he, meaning God, had no respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. He became angry. It began to irritate and agitate him. Why? Because he was jealous. Why was he jealous? I'm not going to ask you to turn there. I'm going to ask you to stand where you are, but I want to read you what the Bible says about it. I'd like for you to write these scriptures down and read them for yourself at some point. They're found in 1 John in chapter number 3. The Bible says this in verse number 10, 1 John chapter 3, verse 10, "In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, that was of that wicked one." Now I need to read that again. "Not as Cain, that was of that wicked one." The old devil had made his way back to the first family again. The old devil that showed up at mom and dad's came to the children. The Bible says here in 1 John chapter 3 that Cain was of that wicked one and he slew his brother. Why did he do that? Why? The Bible says he did that. Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. In other words, he was jealous. He was envious. Why are there wars and rumors of wars? Why is there nation rising against nation and kingdom against kingdom? Power, control, greed. Because people want to take what God has given. That's why. You listening this morning? Why will tomorrow across this great nation will many people in remembrance of our fallen heroes? And I pray that every person of the sound of my voice, whether you are cooking out, barbecuing, whatever you're doing, you will at least set aside a time to pray for those who have lost a loved one. Someone that they know or someone that is family that has fallen. That God would give comfort. That God would help His people. That God would help America to remember. There's a price attached to freedom. There's a price attached to it. So here's Abel. And there's conflict. Cain said, "I don't like the way you do it." And Abel said, "Well, I'm going to keep doing it this way." The Bible says that from the ground, listen to me now, that though Abel is dead, yet he's still speaking. He's still speaking today, brethren. Hear me now. He's still speaking. Abel is. Can you hear him? Can you hear Abel? Still speaking. God said, if you're in Genesis 4, notice what God said. He spoke then. Verse number 4, chapter 4, verse number 10 of the book of Genesis, he said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Still speaking. Was speaking then, still speaking. What happened? What took place here? Cain said, I think it ought to be this way. I'm going to do it this way. Abel said, well, I think God is worthy of my best. Study it. You look right here, look at verse number 4 of chapter 4 of the book of Genesis. And Abel, he also brought of what? The firstlings of his flock. The best. The best. He said, I think God deserves the best. He brought the fat thereof, the best. I think God deserves the best. And Cain said, well, I think he deserves what I give him. And no more. And I think he ought to accept it. And then there became jealousy and greed and envy and hatred and variance and malice. How long did it build? I don't know. I don't know. I know this. The devil got involved. Isn't that what 1 John chapter 3 said? The devil got involved. And then, as always is, when the devil got involved, there was death. Always. And the Bible says that at the end of a day, on a particular day, that Eve lost one of her sons. I've never lost a child to death. In reality, I have. Sharon and I have had 3 miscarriages. But I mean after life, after I've grown to love them and know them and train them and hold them, and I've never experienced that. I've been at the bedside of many who have. It's a very heart-rending thing. It's a very difficult thing. You wonder what this mother was going through. What happened? Be bad enough to lose a son, wouldn't it? Be bad enough. Perhaps there's someone in our congregation today. You've had to stand by the grave of one of your own children. God bless you. God bless you. I have no way of knowing how that feels in your heart, but I just know that there has to be pain that probably will be there until the day you leave this world. God bless you. But could you imagine what it was like for this man and this woman to know that their son was dead at the hands of their son? Something tells me that that would add double pain to the situation. So what are we to gather from this? We're to gather that Abel's trying to tell us something. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 11, and this is where I'll make a thought or two. And Hebrews 11, and I was thinking about memorials. I thought about how that in this great Hall of Fame of Faith chapter, these memorials, these landmarks of faith that God has planted in His Word, He starts out not with Adam and Eve. He doesn't. He goes beyond them and goes right to Abel. And He said in chapter number 11, in verse number 4 of Hebrews, He said, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And you may be sitting here this morning and you may be religious. And I want you to listen to me. You may be very patriotic, and if you are, good. I'm glad that you are. But no man, no woman, no boy, no girl, no individual has ever got to heaven on patriotism. I'm for patriotism. I love my country. I love my country. I thank God for this country. But I want to make it very clear here this morning that no individual has ever or will ever go to heaven on merit alone, on patriotism alone. You'll never go to heaven. That has never gotten anyone into heaven, nor shall it ever. And the Bible says here that Cain offered a more excellent sacrifice. How was that determined? Cain did it God's way. Cain brought the blood sacrifice. Listen to me this morning now. God said there's a way that you can be reconciled. There's a way that, you can get in good standing with me. There's a way that your sin can be atoned. There's a way that your sin can be covered. But now you've got to do it my way. And Abel said, yes, sir, I'm going to do it your way. And he brought unto to God an excellent sacrifice, a more excellent sacrifice, the Bible says, than Cain. Now, don't you think for one moment that Cain started out as a vicious, duck and dodge, back alley murderer. He was a religious man. Now listen to me. Perhaps Cain was a patriot too. Perhaps Cain was a good man. He was religious. He too brought an offering. Don't forget that now. Notice again the wording of the scripture. He brought a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Not that he brought a sacrifice and Cain didn't. Cain did bring a sacrifice. But he brought it his sacrifice, his way, my works, my hand, my doing, and not God's way. Say, preacher, me and God's got our own little deal worked out. God doesn't do personal deals. God has worked out eternal redemption for anyone that will come to him because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God's way. Amen. That's God's way. Through the blood. It's the only way. You say, well, me and God's got this thing on the side. No, God said, if you want to come to me, you must come through the blood of my son, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He's the only way. Cain said, well, I'm going to do it a different way. God said, I don't respect that. Now, I'm telling you what the Bible says, brethren, this morning. God said, I don't respect that. Preacher, I'm trying to be a good person. I'm a church member. I'm even a member of this church. I'm thankful, but listen to me. Church membership has never gotten anyone to heaven. I've been baptized, preacher. Baptism has never gotten anyone to heaven. I'm a good person, preacher. You don't know. I was raised in a Christian's home. Hear me now. Hear me. That will not get you to heaven. There's one way. And Jesus said, I am the way. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. One way. The Bible says that he brought the sacrifice, and it was a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained the witness that he was righteous. That's the only way. Now, not that Abel was a good guy. I'm a good guy, preacher. I'm a good guy. There's none good. No, not one. Did you know, at our worst, I can't even imagine how God views you. At my worst, I cannot even begin to comprehend how God views me. You know why? Because God said, at your best, Dale Freeman, now listen to me, at your best, all of your righteousness is a filthy rag. That's your best, Dale. That's your best, Dale Freeman. I can't even imagine what my worst would be in the sight of God. I need a redeemer. And I'm glad I have one. I'm glad I know one. The Bible says here, in the latter part of verse number 4, that God testified of his gifts. And by it he being dead yet speaketh. He's still speaking. Are you listening? He is. What does Abel speak? Let me give you these and I'll be through. Number one, Abel speaks this. Abel speaks that God has a way. That God has a way. And that sin has ruined man. That's why he had to bring sacrifices. Amen? That's what Abel speaks. From the ground, Abel's speaking. Hey, listen. I died because my brother got jealous. He was envious. I was murdered. Why? Because I was doing it God's way. I died because I brought a sacrifice. Sin dictated that I would bring a sacrifice if I wanted to be right with my maker, and so I did it. And because of sin, my blood is crying out from the ground that because I did it the way that God said I brought my sacrifice, sin was the purpose of that. Sinfulness of man. That's what the blood of Abel says. The blood of Abel also says that there's a shortness of life. I thought about it, these fallen heroes. I thought about many of them probably 18, 19, 20, 21 years old. My goodness.
goodness. We never know, brethren. You never know. You say, preacher, I'm gonna live 30 more years. You might live 30 more minutes. I don't know. The Bible says that we ought not to boast ourselves of tomorrow. A man knoweth not what a day may bring forth. James said our life is like a vapor that appeareth for a little time and it vanisheth away. You say, well, preacher, you know what the old saying is, here today, gone tomorrow. That's not true. You can be here today and gone today. It's not here today and gone tomorrow. It could be here today and gone today. So Abel's blood's crying out. It's not good stuff. It's not. Chapter 12, if you'll look. God said on this Memorial Day, I want you to remember one more thing. I want you to remember that there's a different blood. It speaks too. Do you know that? It does. Chapter 12, look if you would in verse number 24. Hebrews chapter 12, are you there? Hebrews chapter 12, we'll give everyone an opportunity. There's another blood that speaks. It's not Abel's blood. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24, the Bible says, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. I want to pause right here and say, I thank God that God has provided a way. Man didn't come up with a way to get to heaven. Every time man tries to come up with a way to heaven, it's a disaster. You can go all the way back to the Garden of Eden and right onto the Tower of Babel, right on up to our day. Every single time man attempts to reach God outside of Jesus Christ, it's a disaster. A disaster. Jesus had made the way. Look at it, verse 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, here it goes now, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Yeah, Abel's blood speaks, but Jesus' blood speaks louder. Speaks better things. You know what that means? That means that Abel's blood spoke good things, but Jesus' blood speaks better things. Now, whether you believe that this blood, look at it again in verse 24, is the blood of Abel himself or the blood of his sacrifice, it really doesn't change anything. I wrote this down. I want you to get this. Abel's blood speaks from earth. Jesus' blood speaks from heaven. Abel's blood was a temporary freedom. Jesus' blood is an eternal deliverance. Abel's blood cries for justice and vengeance. Jesus' blood cries for mercy, pardon, and peace. If it's Abel's blood of himself, Jesus' blood is better. But even if it's the blood of the sacrifice that it's been spoke of here, Jesus' blood is better. You know why? Because the blood of those sacrifices, those high priests and Abel, they had to keep going back and keep going back and keep going back and keep going back. Jesus, after he had entered in once into the holy place, forever sat down on the right hand of God. It's finished, brethren. It's finished. What a memorial. What a memorial that we have in the person of Jesus Christ. I wonder this morning as we think of memorials, our country full of memorials, many of them good, needful to help us remember people that have sacrificed and died, paid a price. The Word of God, full of memorials. I wonder if you have any memorials in your life. You have any memorials? Can you think back to a time, a place, an event where you became a Christian? So, preacher, I was born a Christian. There's no such thing as that. No one is born a Christian. You're born a sinner. It would absolutely boggle your mind to know how many people I've talked to and they tell me I was born a Christian or I was born in America, therefore I'm a Christian. Brethren, there are people who believe this. That is sad. Do you have the memorial of knowing the place or the time, the event, the occasion You say, "Preacher, I can't remember the date." That's okay. Where were you? Where's that memorial? Can you ride by the place where it all happened? Maybe it was a church. Maybe it was a parking lot. Maybe it was by your bedside. Maybe it was in the home alone, just you and God. Where were you when you seen your need of Jesus Christ and you cried out to Him for mercy and He forgave you of your sin? What a memorial to be able to go back and remember that's when or where and how it happened. What about baptism? Have you followed the Lord in believer's baptism? Can you remember that event, that occasion? You say, "Well, preacher, I'm going to heaven where I'm baptized or not." I understand that. I'm glad you are. I'm not preaching baptism as a works. I'm preaching it as an act of obedience. Can you remember that red letter day in your life when you followed the Lord in believer's baptism? What about this ordinance? Here's another ordinance, the Lord's table tonight. Can you remember the last time you sit at the table and you took that bread and you placed that bread in your mouth and you fed on what was symbolic of the bread of life, the manna of heaven, the body that was broken for your sin? Your heart was broken along with that body when you remembered that Jesus paid the ultimate price for you to be set free from the ultimate enemy, the enemy of sin and death. You drink that cup that is representative of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for the redemption and forgiveness of sin. These are memorials. Do you have them in your life? I pray that you do. Let's stand. On this Memorial Day, Sunday, tomorrow actually is Memorial Day, but on this Memorial Day Sunday, the day that we set aside in the Lord's house to think and reflect about our fallen heroes. I think about this mother who lost her son to conflict, but his blood is still crying. There's a message to that blood. There really is. But I didn't want to highlight that blood as much. I want to talk about the blood that speaks better things. Better things. The blood of Jesus. Eternal things. Eternal. I sure hope no one would be offended when I say that you could take all the blood of all of the history of all of mankind that has been shed in battles for whatever reasons, whether it be for power, whether it be for freedom, whether it be for authority, whether it be to just gain property. And you can measure that blood, and for whatever it brought, I want to assure you that it was temporal. It was temporal. Or, in some cases, it is, even as we speak, temporal. But the blood of Jesus speaks eternal things. Eternal. Receive the cleansing of this blood and you will receive eternal salvation, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. However, reject this blood and you will receive eternal rejection, eternal punishment in a place that is eternal called hell. Please, make a wise choice. Make a wise choice. Let's bow our heads together.